The verse that we have in this series this morning on the spiritual battle is the last verse in the introductory parts to the armour, and that's verse 13, and it has similarities with verse 11. I'll read verse 13 first of all, and there is a difference there, enough I believe for us to stay on the verse. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, verse 11, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you remember, particularly then, we were looking at the wiles of the devil. Whereas here, although it is similar, it is not the same, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. So I think I'd like to stay for a little while on that verse this morning. The apostle here is particularly concerned about the spiritual nature of the battle. And there is a great danger in Christians that they may forget this. There's a temptation. We've come to an experience of grace. We know what it means to say that God has forgiven us in Christ our sins. And maybe some years are going by, and we feel pretty safe there, almost familiar. It's a pity if we get familiar, but almost like that. It's wonderful if we increase in our assurance, that's so. We have an experience of the grace of God, and we're able to say that we are forgiven. We also have an assurance of salvation, that we are able to say, because of this experience, we know that we are going to heaven. And it's not presumption, it is confidence in the work of Christ, and that we believe honestly and sincerely that a work of grace has gone on in our hearts, that we believe. Then perhaps en route as well, we have known of great mercies of God and experiences too. We may have known of the unction of the Spirit and power in witnessing or in preaching, as the case may be. We may have known of many experiences where God has aided us and helped us along life's journey. We are able to speak to many younger people in the faith and tell us how God has delivered us out of many predicaments. All this is right, and it is wonderful. But a danger can begin to show itself there. The danger of feeling, well, I've done very well. I know God puts me on the way, but I've done very well. It is a spiritual issue. I know I have a spiritual experience of God in my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we begin to tackle things with the knowledge that we have of God, with our experience that we have in past events, rather than seeing that never one battle was won without God, that never one difficulty was overcome without God. And that terrible phrase comes where people say, I am a mature Christian. I don't really know what it means. The only thing I guess that it means is that they believe that they have advanced and progressed to such a degree that they are special. Well, I would say that that is not an indication of spirituality. The more I have seen or heard truly godly people speak, the more they have become aware of their own frailty and the more conscious of God's. That to me has been a sign of progress in people, as I observe. But it is a temptation, because we do know more. We have more experiences in our lives. And there is that temptation for us to believe, well, I can manage now. Let God help somebody else, but I can manage. It's a very deceptive thing. It's one of the wiles of Satan. The aim that the apostle has here all the time, remember, is a very important one. And one perhaps that will take, well, it will come to it on its own, to make known, verse 19, all this I want you to know for one particular reason especially, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now that's the one thing that the apostle would highlight and say, it is so easy, really, for us to have our vision dimmed, for us to have our aim waylaid, for our purposes to be frustrated. It's so easy for a church, and we should always be considerate of the needs of men and women, but it is so easy for us to be lost in the great needs of the world. The poor we always will have with us. We never must turn a deaf ear, that is true. At the same time, we must never let any of these worthy things take away the vision of the gospel and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It is a spiritual matter. Now, the verses that we've been through are these. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So a little question as we start this morning. How are you? Are you strong in the Lord? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Or are you leaning upon the confidence of self in some way or another? Well, why do I need to be strong in the Lord? For we've looked at this verse as well. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then we come to our text. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, there are two themes that emerge, you know. The importance of the realization of the resources we have in God, and our position in Christ, our vantage points. And the other is a realization that we must continue always in the resistance against Satan. Those two things. A realization of the strength that we have in God and avail of it. And the other, to resist Satan. To put up a fight. Well, why should I bother? Now, how important is it here this morning for us to proclaim and to make known and to make sure that the mystery of the gospel should be made known. Now, if that thought won our hearts, that the purpose of this chapel here and this church and congregation is that we should make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that should be our overwhelming desire, it will be a tremendous motivation for us, inspiration for us to lay aside all these things when we go home. And the devil has got in immediately, say, well, don't you think that? Not that I want to complain. Don't you? He's got in. Oh, it may be quite a justifiable little complaint. There are many. I'm sure that if we had a kind of a conference here this morning where we discuss the complaints that we feel and things that should be done and shouldn't be done, I'm sure that they will be longer than anybody's arm. There's always something. There's always something. The devil gets in. We lose our vision. We're not wholehearted behind the work. That is what he's saying. He's not trying to be offensive, no more than I. But this is what he is saying. Now, let's look just for a few moments and at what we have this morning. The headings I have will seem to repeat, but I hope that there is a new point in each one. Let us consider, first of all, the weapons that the warrior has. Now, I'm going to just mention the list briefly, because by God's grace, I'd like to look at each one singly. Now, it is a crisp command here. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, if I can just put almost a little aside here. It is the whole armor. You can't go along and say, all right, I'll wear the helmets. I've got trouble with my thoughts. I'll wear the helmet. Or somebody else might say, well, I don't know. Things go to my heart, and I'm often hurt, and I'm very vulnerable, and I'll wear the breastplate. No, you cannot be selective. You wear the total, the whole armor of God. You put the whole armor on. It's told in verse 11 and verse 13 as well. Now, the details of each piece and its significance are obviously, they are important. And every piece has its place to make the whole and to make it a complete thing. So we can call it the armor of God, and in another epistle, the armor of light. Now then, these weapons are to be used in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. I can try and capture all our hearts here this morning in this. Do you remember an illustration from Scripture the other day? That when Moses was praying, and he prayed with arms outstretched, and if you put your arms up, you soon get very weary and tired, very difficult to hold your arms up. And that is the way they prayed at that time, in that period of the history in the Old Testament. And there, down there, was a battle going on, the Amalekites and the Israelites. And as his arms wearied, in other words, as he wearied in prayer, this is what we're really talking about, the Amalekites prevailed. But as his supporters came and lifted his arms up because he couldn't manage on his own, then Israel prevailed. Now, what does Satan want to do? He'll say, put the spiritual armor aside and jump into circumstances and fight people. That's what Satan wants. And what can happen to us is this, that we can be convinced when we're up against a spiritual difficulty that we can say, when we made a request to a certain group of people, a committee, a council, whatever it is, you can think of anything you like now, then one man spoke eloquently against our cause, maybe. And then we might say, all our feelings must be directed against that man. He's a terrible person, and so on and so on. Well, Satan's got you. He's got you exactly where he wants you, fighting with flesh and blood, fighting, arguing, quarreling, bickering, criticizing, all the rest of it. And especially if he can do it amongst ourselves, especially that. But if it's somebody outside or within, if he can only drag us down to the plain, if he can only get us down there, then he will prevail. He needn't bother much then about using much of his energy. We're his. We've lost. We've lost the day. Arguing, quarreling, criticizing, bickering, biting, fighting. Arguing against flesh and blood. The lesson is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't fight with words. We don't fight with criticism. We don't fight with just finding fault with other people and going for them. And fault-finding, if we do that, we have misunderstood the whole atmosphere of it and the whole aim of this spiritual concept that the apostle has here. We're fighting down on the plain and we'll never win. We'll always be discouraged. Do you remember these verses in the second epistle to Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 3 and 4? And then we look at 5 again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, ordinary men and women, when they war in the flesh. Whether it is one country fighting against another country with terrible instruments of war, or whether it is a neighbor quarreling with another neighbor with word, whichever it is, they war in the flesh. That's how they fight. They war in the flesh. Now, although we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal things like that. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now let's just think of the weapons and not go much into them at the moment. So these weapons, what are they like? Here we look now at the armory. We say, well, what is it like? Well, I'll tell you about this armory, says our Savior to us, if you like. It is mighty. It's mighty through God. Wear this. Fight with this on. That's the way to go about it. Oh, well, but I'm pretty strong, you know, I'm an experienced Christian, and I know my doctrines, I know my scriptures, and I've been in many a predicament before, and I'm able to give excellent advice. He said, put this armor on. Now, what is it? I'll just go through them briefly. The truth. Our great problem today in the evangelical scene, sadly, it was 18, 20, 25 years ago. That was not the problem with evangelicals. The evangelical was a man who stood on the truth. He girt truth about him, about his loins. He was a great upholder all the great fundamental doctrines. And we had a nickname then. It's disappeared, if you've noticed now. You notice it's gone? Do you remember what we were called? Fundamentalists. You don't hear it today. You see, the world can assess us very, very quickly. We're not called that today. Yet it was a very worthy nickname. It meant that we were believers of the fundamental truths on God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on God as judge, on Jesus Christ as Redeemer, on Calvary, the atonement, the resurrection, the person of Christ, the death of Christ, all this, the second coming, and in the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, on heaven and hell. We were on the fundamentals. We were secure, and we girt about our loins truth. If we're going to wage in a battle here successfully, we've got to have truth. Never despise truth. Doctrine has been regarded now as an unpleasant word. Doctrine is only another word for teaching. Teaching about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit. Let us not despise these. Then the breastplate of righteousness, the wonder of his cleanness, of his righteousness, the work he's done for us, covering our breast, our heart, our emotions, all of us in a way. Our feet shod with the gospel of peace. And wherever we go, we take the message of the gospel. Then that shield we have. And as we brandish this shield, we are using our faith and putting faith into action. And then helmets, the helmets of salvation, our mind drenched with redemption. And the sword, and see this flashing. And here is another one now. It's strange, really, that the two that have been particularly attacked in the generation that you and I are living in is truth, and then the one that is closely linked with it, the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. So you'll find people saying today that the knowledge of the Word is not important, so long as you have some experience of Jesus Christ, whatever it may be, and it may be false, but the knowledge of the Word is not important. We need to immerse ourselves in the knowledge of the Word and in reading the Scriptures and being able to apply the Scriptures in every situation that we are in. That's the armor. It's easy to stay on it a little bit too long now. Don't wish to at the moment. The weapons. Now, the war. Now, why do I put this armor on? That he may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, shall I be helpful here with the evil day? At a glance, it seems to imply as if Satan was not always at war. He is always at war. There is never a moment when a Christian and the Christian church is not under attack in one way or another. But what the apostle is highlighting here is this. There are some days where it seems, as far as you and I may be concerned, collectively or individually, that all the powers of hell are let loose, either as an angel of light disguised that way, or else as a roaring lion. It matters not how, really, now, only that there are certain days that we can turn back and say, that was an evil day. How did you fare in the evil day? We've all had evil days. Let me read you a little list here. There are days of severe trial. There are critical moments. There are days of terrible circumstances. And you can go on. Days when you feel, well, has God left me? Where am I? Where are the people of God? Where are my friends? And where's Satan now? You're in the battle, and suddenly you feel that they're all over there, and you seem to be on your own, and the only one that's holding your line. And Satan is now coming at you with an onslaught. How does he come? Well, this is such a wide subject in itself, I felt I'd single out the beginnings of it. I have found that Satan's most terrible way with me is the whispering. He whispers. I know this is not an actual sound, but almost here, he brings it to the frontiers of the mind. A whisper. But the trouble is, you see, that it's It has some truth in it. Satan will not use a complete lie. The most dangerous of lies are the lies that are 95% truth and a 5% deadly bit of poison in it. Those are the times. During the last World War, there was a radio broadcast from Germany, and we were at war with Germany at that time. There's a man called Lord Horhall. The young people will know nothing about this, but we older ones will know. And this man he was from Britain himself, and he used to speak on behalf of the enemy at that time. And his aim was, by constant speaking, to bring despair. And particularly at the time of great and terrible air raids, he would say, "Do you know who's going to have it now?" And fear would grip the hearts of many people. Whispering. Whispering. Now, I read a long passage this morning regarding King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah himself had no great armies that he could call upon, but he had a great God. Now, the king of Assyria came against him. You see, this kind of method of propaganda has been used all through the long centuries. And in that case, if you remember, that these men, the messengers of King Assyria, came and stood outside the walls of Jerusalem, and they began to speak to those who were on the wall, not only to those who represented King Hezekiah, and to speak to them in the language of the Jews, language that the others could understand. And those on the wall pleaded with them and said, "Don't do that, because... there was a motive in it, of course. We don't want them to hear. Let the parley, let the talk be between us and you, and let us come to some arrangement there." Listen to the words. "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand," out of the king of Assyria's hand, that is. "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and the city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Make an agreement with us. Bring a present to us, and you shall be safe. And look at the promises he gives. And we shall take you to another land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and every man shall have his own vine, and every man shall have his own cistern." And so the talk there, if you remember the passage I read, on the one hand, the terrible calamity that will fall upon the people if they didn't listen to the messengers of the king of Assyria, and that the people would suffer great indignities, all that. But if they listen to the king of Assyria, and not to King Hezekiah, then great blessing and great abundance and joy and peace and so on would be theirs. Very tempting. Satan ever whispered to you, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" And we look round at the devastation today. He's saying, depart from your biblical stand. Yield a little, just a little. I'm not asking you to be like the worldling, but depart, relax a little. There is now not the king of Assyria, but the king of hell. And he's speaking in the language that we understand. And he's not just only speaking to the minister, he speaks to all the congregation and says, "Why don't we try this, and why don't we do this, and why don't we do the other thing," and so on and so on and so on. Or it can be a personal thing where you can relax and lower your own standards. What did the people do? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's command was saying, "Answer him not." May I give us all, myself included, spiritual advice now. When Satan comes with the whisperings, I know that when he comes with a complete lie, we will tell him to go. But when he comes to something that where we are a little offended or we feel something, oh, how easy it is, how easy it is for that lovely thing called the unity to begin to crack, break. And he'll be able to say, "Do you know what? Rejoice, my evil angels. Rejoice. I got in. Where have you got in? I got into that home. They were all out for the gospel. They were all out in their chapel. They were all out behind the deacons, elders, pastors. There was not enough they could do. Look at them now. Look at them now. Lovely, 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 he said. Come and listen with me. Listen to them. Bicker, bicker, natter, natter, grumble, grumble. Of course we're not complaining. You see? Do you see what I mean? I'm caricaturing it a little. In order for it not to hurt us, but to teach us. So easy. So easy. Ah, but I was justified. They were wrong. They should not, always they. I don't know who they are, actually. They. That great they. But the cracks have started. Another one out of action. The evil day. The evil day. When that family was put out of action. The evil day. And you know what? If any of you are out of action, you can trace back the day if you try. It was an evil day. Withstand. Withstand. It's powerful. Be determined. I will not give in. Withstand. Now listen to these verses now. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down, what? Of strongholds of Satan. And when Satan has a hold, it is strong. The strongholds of Satan. Because I tell you this, once he's got his whispering, and once he's got his terrible foot in, then his hand holds. And there's something about that satanic hold that takes a great deal of unclasping. A stronghold of Satan. Now that can be within the congregation, outside the congregation. It can be a great problem that faces the church. Whatever it may be, a stronghold of Satan. You can apply it in any way, every way. Now then, what can we do with the armor of light? The casting down imaginations, because they become that, you know. Have you noticed? Once we go on the whispering campaign, we build up a big case. Have you ever had a big case? And then you learn the one thing at the bottom that held it up was wrong. And you take it away and it all collapses. Imaginations. But oh, how they can hold. The casting down imaginations and everything, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. What shall I do then in the spiritual warfare? I take this thought now and I drag it along and I take it to Christ and I take it into captivity to the obedience of Christ and ask him to deal with it, however bruised my own feelings may be in a particular matter. The casting down of strongholds. That's the aim of the war. You might say there's nothing to cast down. When we begin to face it, you'll find that it's a lot to cast down. That's a strange thing. Then lastly, the word and the key word here. Have you heard these phrases about a Christian? He's making a stand. He's on his own in that big factory, whatever it may be, but he's making a stand. Or this one. You haven't heard of him for a long time. How is he? He's still making a stand for the Lord. Have you heard this phrase? I don't know where he stands today, but he used to be with us. But I don't know where he stands today. What are we saying? He is no longer involved in the battle. What has happened? I want you now in your thoughts to think of a vast battlefield. There are the spiritual forces arrayed. Here are we in our vantage point in Christ, in the heavenlies. And we come now with our blessed Saviour. And we put on the armour of light and the armour of God. And we wrestle. There is personal confrontation with Satan himself. Because we have one aim. That in this spiritual battle, that we might be able to propagate and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something happens. An evil day. An evil day. In this battlefield, you'll find some wrestling, confronting, fighting, persevering. You find others standing still and gazing at the battle, terribly interested, not fighting, not involved. You'll find others standing back a little. Not only are they not interested, but they are beginning to turn away. And their faces are turning the other direction. They're not interested. They don't want to know. And they want to show that they don't want to know. They're turning the other way. But there was a time when they were with us. There was a time when they were heart to heart and shoulder to shoulder. There was a time. They came across an evil day. They're now on the side, on the sidelines, looking on and perhaps looking away. What can we do? It is a fierce battle. He is a wicked foe, and it's terrifying. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Where are the danger areas then? What's it like in our homes? If you belong to a Christian home now, a complete Christian home, not everyone, some are the only believers in a home, or half a home, as the case may be, but in a home where it is a Christian, complete home. Can Satan get in there? May I ask you a question? I don't want to sound as if I was offending. Do you have family worship? Do you? If you don't, why? Why? I found it's a struggle to have it. A great struggle. But you know, you can't replace that. It's something very special. When father, mother, the family meet together and read and pray, I have found that that is one of the things that Satan will do his best by being too busy. It's amazing how many things he will bring to spoil that. Strange thing, if a family safeguards its family worship, I find that that family are alive to safeguarding every other area as well. Usually. But Satan can come into a Christian home and say, well, we are a Christian home. We're all believers here. We know what we are. We go to chapel. We do the right things. And how easy it is to lean back at ease in Zion. An evil day when it began. If you are alone, Christian, you cannot have the things you could have in a home that's united in the Lord. That's true. But how easy it is when you're on your own to despair and be discouraged and allow Satan to bring discouragement to your heart. Do you realize that discouragement comes from Satan? Do you realize that despair comes from Satan? And that when you despair and when you discourage, you cease to fight? That is there as well. What are we like at work? Do they know your secret? Or have you kept your secret? What's the secret? The mystery of this gospel. This great mystery that brought me from darkness to light. The power of hell to the freedom of the sons of God. That makes us one in Christ and closer to those who are the Lord than anybody, anything else. Do they know your secrets? If they don't know your secrets, why? Why have you ceased to fight? Or only fights on official office working hours outside the office hours of work? What about our neighbours? Ah, but do they really matter? Yes, they do. I'm not talking now about how you witness to your neighbours particularly. That's important too. But in this way, the neighbours observe. Ah, but you say, in a place like Cardiff, they don't, because it's a reasonably sized city and we don't know our neighbours very well. That is so. But shall I tell you this? That these silent streets of this city that we are living in are exceedingly eloquent. And you know I'm right. It's just like a village. It really is exceedingly eloquent. They know that you are regular in a place of worship. They know that you do not go in certain directions. They know that you do other things. There's no need for you to broadcast it. The evidence of your activities and your interests will show. And although they seem to be silent, they have taken notes. Isn't it wonderful when they know? It's wonderful when they know. It can be one day a blessed day for them. Stand. Withstand. It is a time for witnessing when? Any given moment. It is a time for prayer. Pray without ceasing. It is a time for preaching in season and out of season. We don't do these things just when we feel like them. Now we do these things. It's so easy now. Supposing we say like this, today we had a good day's preaching, or today we had a good prayer meeting, or today we had a good time of witnessing. So now we'll have a rest for a few weeks. No! To war! To war! Witness! Pray, preach, it's all that. And we must keep at it, because it is a spiritual warfare, and there's no relaxing this war. Yes, there are evil days, when there are particular days, that is true, but we must continue there. How many are out of action? Trace back your evil day. Make this a blessed day. A day where we come back and take our stand, and put our armor on, and are able to say to our Christian brother, I am with you. All the way, I'm with you. Hold your ground. Fight the good fight. Here's an on-the-spot check. Talking to the Apostle Paul in the letter to Timothy, using his verses. He hasn't died yet. You can ask him a question. Well, Paul, what have you been doing? You're coming to the end of your life. What have you been doing? 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. I have fought a good fight. This fight is worth fighting. We're all fighting something. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Coming to the end of his life. That's my story. There were many things that Paul would not be able to say. You would not be able to say, I have a comfortable this, that, and the other. I have seen to this, that, and the other. I have been a tremendous witness, and so on. There are many things, in as far as the intellectual part is concerned, there are many things he could not say. He chose to preach Christ and him crucified. He chose that. Could have been many other things, but he was not. But he was this one thing. A good fight, and the course that is set before him. Then he gives advice to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight. Now that's my message this morning. Stand, withstand. Fight the good fight. God has placed us here in this church. God has placed us in this city, in this time, in this generation. You will not get back the years that the locusts have wasted. You will not get back the years that you have wasted spiritually. You will not get back the years that you should have been in the front line. They are gone forever, to our sorrow and our regrets. But you must not, if you now say, well, here is a blessed day, don't waste another moment. Then, when you decide in your heart, I will fight the good fight, forgetting those things which are behind, don't let then even the memory of the wasted years hinder you, but go on with the things of God. Can we do it? Never, I believe, was there so terrible a day. Never was there so urgent a situation. Never was there so dark a cloud of wickedness and war and of evil and everything you can think of. Never was there such a time for us to hold our ground and to fight the good fight of faith. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and we ask thee, oh, we ask thee, to help us. Satan, even in this message, O Lord, can endeavour this moment and during the moment to take away. Oh, heavenly Father, let us see our strength in thee. Help us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.